Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me in the Bettors Box at BangTheBook.com's MLB Betting Podcast for Monday, August 12th. I'm your host, Adam Burke. This and every edition of the Bettors Box presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook, BTB, and the number 200 is that promo code, 100% deposit match bonus for the Sportsbook, 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. Monday, Thursday format here with the Bettors Box. As you know, no Monday mailbag questions here for today. If you ever have any of those, at Skating Tripods on Twitter or Adam at BangTheBook.com via email. Also, you can subscribe to the show notes by sending me an email, Adam at BangTheBook.com. Lots of phenomenal work being done by our outstanding cast of writers. A big weekend in the golf world from James Mazzola, hitting it outright, hitting his big plays over the weekend. So make sure you check out his preview for the BMW Championship here coming up this week. He'll have that up probably sometime Tuesday evening over at BangTheBook.com. Danny Vorgs' NFL division previews. Fantastic stuff there, looking at market numbers compared to what his models are saying. He 58% on all plays over the last 2 years at BangTheBook.com in his weekly NFL power ratings piece, using those power ratings, using that setup to give you thoughts on each division here. So those are definite must reads as well. I'll have updated college football power ratings probably later in the week or early next week as we look ahead to week zero with a couple of games coming up August 24th. Then also week one beginning here about 2.5 weeks away. So we'll have some updated college football power rating stuff, some more stuff on win totals, opening line reports for week zero and week one. Lot of college football and NFL content coming your way over at BangTheBook.com. To go along with NASCAR, golf, tennis, soccer, WNBA, esports stuff, we'll be adding a horse racing component to the site later on in the week as well. We've got some more NFL futures stuff coming from Lockie Lockerson. So very busy time here at BangTheBook.com. Make sure you check it all out. Bang the Book Radio, the daily shows return a week from today. We'll be doing at least an hour a day, Monday through Friday. So we'll be getting that all together for you here starting in a week. And also, we'll be doing some more video content as well on our Bang the Book YouTube page. Maybe some more video content on social media as well. So plenty of stuff coming your way. This week, I'll do a football show on Wednesday, figure out which guests that'll be. Thursday, the Bettors Box. Friday, UFC. And all of the previous football stuff we've done here on Bang the Book Radio. Still a good shelf life with that. Talked with Rolf Michaels, Brad Powers, Brian Leonard, Ross Tucker. A lot of good thoughts and insight on those shows earlier on here on the months of July and August. So make sure you check all that stuff out at BangTheBook.com. You can subscribe to Bang the Book Radio on Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Podcasts. Lots of great places for you to check us out. Finally, the Super Contest coming up. Super Contest weekend. Little less than 2 weeks away now. You've got the Circa Million. You've got the Gold Nugget Ultimate Football Challenge, the William Hill College Football Pick'em. Vegas Maddie over at footballcontest.com should be your proxy service for all of those Las Vegas-based betting contests. In fact, we are seeing now, not that Vegas Maddie does this, but we're seeing some contests on the East Coast now, state of Pennsylvania, with an NFL Pick'em contest. So these contests are going to be very, very popular as sports betting legalization continues to sweep across the country. Maybe not a bad idea to get your feet wet with some of those contests out there in Las Vegas this year. Again, Vegas Maddie, your proxy at footballcontest.com. You don't live in the state of Nevada. You have to have a proxy to submit your selections for you, unless you can get inside Nevada to put the Super Contest selections in there if you live in California or one of the adjoining states. But look, you know, it's a good opportunity to go out there, interact with some of the people in the industry, and of course, give yourself a chance in those contests. But when you do, check things out with Vegas Maddie over at footballcontest.com. All right, so go ahead and dive into today's show. Like I mentioned, no Monday mailbag questions that I know of. If I missed one, I apologize. Please let me know. But our traditional format here then as follows: beyond the box score, down the lines, my pick for tonight's action, and then finally, a preview for the week ahead. So let's go ahead and take a look beyond the box score here at some series that just wrapped up. The Indians take 3 out of 4 from the Minnesota Twins. Mike Clevenger, Shane Bieber, Aaron Civale, all fantastic in this series for the Tribe. And look, even Adam Plutko was pretty useful here in this series. For the Twins, they didn't get a whole lot of great starting pitching. Even in the game that Jake Odorizzi pitched, the Indians were 1-for-12 with a runner in scoring position in that game. So they had chances. Odorizzi just didn't give up the big hits with men on base. The Twins were able to survive that game. But, you know, Jose Berríos pitched fine on Sunday, but declining fastball velocity for him. Taylor Rogers with that blown save gives up the grand slam to Carlos Santana. Not blown save, but with that poor outing there, gives up the grand slam to Carlos Santana. Look, the Twins have an easier schedule. And I was on VSiN over the weekend, and I got asked by Brady Cannon, you know, who will win the Central, the Indians or the Twins? And I still think that the Twins can do it because there's such a strength of schedule discrepancy. But there are concerns with this Twins team. Starting pitching, kind of on the fritz a little bit. The bullpen depth, a little bit of a question mark. Right now, the Indians playing very, very well. If they navigate these next 2 or 3 weeks of really big-time games against some high-quality opponents, this thing may be a coin flip going into September, where there are 6 head-to-head meetings between the Indians and the Twins, 3 at Target Field, 3 at Progressive Field, and, of course, both teams get to play a nice amount of games against the Royals and Tigers and White Sox. So we'll see what happens here, but obviously a big series there for the Indians that not only highlighted some of the improvements that they've made, but also highlighted some of the things that could be a problem for the Twins as we go forward. The New York Mets took 2 out of 3 from the Washington Nationals here, but look, the Mets got very fortunate to win this series. Back-to-back bullpen meltdowns for Washington on Friday and Saturday. Then on Sunday, they're able to do enough to beat Jacob DeGrom, really beat the bullpen as DeGrom gave up 3 unearned runs in his 5 innings. But, you know, for the Nationals here, the bullpen's been an issue all year. It's something that they've kind of overcome, something that they've kind of dealt with. So maybe that doesn't affect them too much. But they struck out 37 times in 3 games in this series. And also, Juan Soto leaving yesterday's game, able to walk off on his own power. But that's a very, very big MRI coming up today for Washington, a key cog in that lineup. And also, this is a team that, you know, when Scherzer and Strasburg aren't on the mound, Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin aren't on the mound, they have to out-hit the back of this rotation and that bullpen. So a loss like Juan Soto would be very, very big for them. Hopefully he's going to be okay. But again, you know, this series kind of illustrated what's happening for both of these teams here, where the Nationals went on their big run, the bullpen kind of stabilized. Now the Mets on their big run, everything kind of going their way, they get a couple of those late inning wins. What happens with the Mets going forward here? Because I think overall, when you look at this team, they're a regression candidate now. I kind of was waiting for the Mets to get hot in the first half. It didn't really happen. They had some underlying metrics that looked pretty good, but now they're playing over their heads a little bit. So I think that the Mets probably going to stabilize here sooner rather than later. And again, obviously it's a very strong front of the rotation, but the bullpen has been much better than expected. That's probably going to tail off. And obviously this offense too, you know, some guys that are probably in line for some regression as well. So I think the Nationals still a team I would take between these two the rest of the way. But again, the Nationals still dealing with so many of those bullpen problems. The Cubs and the Reds split 4 games here over the weekend. Pretty even series overall. The results were kind of all over the place, but 37 at-bats with a runner in scoring position for the Cubs, 32 for the Reds, although they had 16 of those in one game. In this series, all the pitchers kind of had some issues at times, except for Trevor Bauer. He was absolutely dominant in his Friday start, struck out 11 over 7 innings. The only hit he gave up, a solo home run to Nick Castellanos. And Castellanos on the year, or not on the year, but since getting added by the Cubs, 370 average, 408 on base, 761 slugging percentage for Castellanos. So he's been a big piece here for the Cubs in this lineup. But the Cubs pitching staff, look, you know, they've got a lot of talent here, but it is questionable. Cole Hamels struggled. Yu Darvish, great day from a strikeout-to-walk ratio standpoint again, but gave up 3 home runs. Kyle Hendricks got blasted in this series. John Lester with a 5-and-fly, and he didn't pitch all that well. The bullpen's kind of been in a state of flux throughout the season. They have stabilized a little bit, but This Cubs starting staff, you don't know what you're going to get day in and day out. You know, you just don't know. And I think that's been one of the problems this year in Major League Baseball overall, is that there are so many of these rotations where I just don't know what I'm going to get from these guys day in and day out. And the Cubs definitely personifying that here this weekend, did get the split. But once again, you know, Hamels wasn't great. Darvish with the command issues. Kyle Hendricks getting rocked. John Lester is just a marginal pitcher at this point. You know, it's such an interesting dynamic here with the Cubs, where they probably are the best team in the Central, but I wouldn't expect much of them here once we actually get around to the playoffs. One other quick note here, Luis Castillo was great for 5 or 6 innings yesterday. Kind of the third and fourth time through the lineup, ran into some trouble a little bit. The bullpen didn't help him out very much either. Still a strong start, though, for a guy that really has taken a pretty big leap here this season, and a lot of the Reds starters have, with first-year pitching coach Derek Johnson. The Giants took 3 out of 4 at home from the Phillies, and, you know, this Phillies team, one of the biggest disappointments of the season for me, and it's hard to say because they're right there in the wild card chase, but this team should be so much better than they are. With the offensive personnel, with some of the higher upside arms that they have, the bullpen really hasn't been great for most of the year, and that's been a problem. This is a Phillies team. It should be so much better than it is. But again, missed opportunities here this weekend against the Giants team that has been experiencing regression that a lot of people are betting against. But they almost get no hit in game one with Madison Bumgarner throwing a gem. Game two, they did win as Tyler Beede pitched really poorly, but nothing against Jeff Samardzija. You know, Jake Arrieta, not great in the finale. Giants used 8 pitchers over 9 innings in that Sunday game to get the victory. The Phillies just, they can't get out of their own way. You know, if they hit, they don't pitch. If they pitch, they don't hit. It's just been such an inconsistent team over the course of the season here. And, you know, I don't trust them in a whole lot of scenarios. You know, I took them for the first 5 in Thursday's game with Nola and Bumgarner. You know, then they don't do anything offensively. They got no hit, I think, for the first 5 innings of that bet. You know, I think there are so many teams here this year where you just don't know what you're getting day in and day out. And you know, there's already so much variance in baseball anyway, just because of the inherent nature of the sport. It's just been a challenge. You know, and some people out there are having great years. They've been able to overcome the variance. I haven't been able to do that. But I look at a lot of these teams here, and even the teams that are in the hunt for the wild card and stuff like that just feel like massive underachievers to me this year. The Royals and the Tigers split. I'm not going to talk too much about this series, but one thing I do want to mention here, Matt Boyd tagged again, 5 runs over 2 2/3 since the start of June for Matt Boyd, 5.56 ERA, 4.75 FIP, does have a 3.36 XFIP. So it's been the long ball that has really hurt Matt Boyd here. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of home runs. Getting knocked around by the Royals, not really a great look, of course. But Matt Boyd, you know, the strikeouts are there. The strikeout-to-walk ratio is there. The command hasn't been. So that'll be something you want to watch here over the last 6 or so weeks of the regular season. Wanted to touch on some second-half splits here. Maybe looking for some regression candidates, whether they're positive or negative. A couple of overall league trends first. You know, I mentioned, I believe it was a week and a half or so after the All-Star break, maybe a week after the All-Star break, that home runs had really skyrocketed in Major League Baseball early on in the second half. That has stabilized now, the home run to fly ball percentage coming down to 15.2%. So that has definitely stabilized quite a bit to the point where, you know, it makes a lot more sense with the rate of home runs on fly balls. Strikeout and walk rates have also stabilized quite a bit. I know strikeouts were up pretty substantially early on in the second half. Those have kind of leveled off now to where they were in the first half. But as far as looking at some team outliers here, the Reds lead all of baseball in the second half with a 340 batting average on balls in play. Astros and Rockies at 326. Yankees at 324. White Sox 321. The interesting thing about the White Sox here, they have a 320 BABIP, which is very, very good. That's a very high number. But they have a 277 weighted on base average and a 72 WRC+. So even with this high BABIP, even with good fortunes on balls in play, they are still 28% below the league average in terms of weighted runs created plus. I'll tell you why in a minute, but this White Sox team, if that BABIP regresses, and it probably should, especially without a guy like Yoan Moncada in the lineup, this is a really bad offense that could presumably get even worse. Again, a lot of times you're looking for BABIPs in the 300 range, 300 to 305, something like that. Maybe now with the home run increase, you're looking between 295 and 300. So these teams are outliers to a degree. I would expect the Reds to have fewer batted ball fortunes here in the near future. The Astros and Yankees just make a lot of good contact, have a lot of talented players. The Rockies, of course, at Coors Field with that big outfield and the thin air. But the White Sox, I would look for some regression from, and the Reds as well, in the batting average on balls in play department. And why is this important? Because you want to try and back teams that are going to get as many chances to score runs as possible. Those teams that are going to get base runners, going to go first to third, second to home, stuff like that. Obviously, you want to look for home runs with the current state of Major League Baseball. But these teams that have high batting averages on balls in play, you know, those are things that you definitely want to take an extended look at here. And those are the top five in the second half. In the bottom five here, the Angels at 263, low contact quality all year long, and also now the strikeout rate up to 23.5%. For a while in the first half, they were in the 16% range. A lot more strikeouts, still low contact quality for the Angels. So that'll be something that you want to follow along with there. The Dodgers at 280, the Rangers and the Mets at 281, and the Pirates at 282, your bottom five in BABIP. I would expect the Dodgers to get better. Of course, home runs don't count for batting average on balls in play because they're not actually balls in play. So I would expect the Dodgers to improve here, maybe the Mets as well, but the Rangers and the Pirates, teams that just don't make a lot of quality contact, at least in terms of balls in play. Biggest home run to fly ball percentage increases and decreases here in the second half. You've got the Milwaukee Brewers in the first half, 19.5% of their fly balls were home runs. In the second half, 13.3%. So a big power outage here for the Brewers. That's been a contributing factor to some of their offensive struggles in the second half. And also, too, as we know, the Brewers with three starting pitchers down right now because of injuries. So the Brewers really struggling in that home run per fly ball percentage area. That's a problem for them as we go forward here because, you know, they're not really a team that lights up the scoreboard with a lot of high on-base percentage guys. They need to hit some home runs. They haven't been doing it here in the second half. The Astros have. The Astros 15.5% in the first half, 20.5% in the second half. They're healthier. George Springer, Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa all missed time in the first half. Yordan Alvarez getting called up. He's a power machine. So the Astros making a big leap here in the second half in home runs per fly ball percentage. Again, 20.5% of their fly balls leaving the ballpark here in the second half. A couple of decreasers here. The Mariners down from 16.9% to 11.7%. Did make some trades, but also this was a team that was playing way over its head in the first half, so not a big surprise to see that. The White Sox down from 15.1% to 9.3%, the worst in Major League Baseball here in the second half, which is a big contributing factor as to why the White Sox have that low weighted runs created plus that I mentioned earlier, a 72 WRC plus, 28% below league average. The home run rate, a big reason why for them. Finally, an increaser here in the second half, the Reds. Up from 15.1% to 19%, and they're also running that 340 BABIP. Again, home runs don't count towards BABIP because they're not balls in play. Usually, when you see a home run increase like this, you would see the BABIP come down because you've got a smaller sample size of balls in play, and you know, a lot of times those balls in play just become outs. You know, obviously, 70% of the time, balls in play are turned into outs. Looking at the league average BABIP. So when you've got a smaller number of balls in play, usually you wind up with a little bit lower of a BABIP. But in this case here for the Reds, hitting more home runs and also having more fortunes on those balls in play. Second half left on base percentage. This is for pitchers only. The Indians lead all of baseball in the second half with an 81.9% left on base percentage. League average on an individual level, typically around 73%. So the Indians really overachieving when it comes to stranding runners. One of the reasons why they've been so good here, because ultimately this is what the game is about. It's about cashing in on your opportunities and keeping the other team from doing that. So there is a high correlation between left on base percentage and how a team performs in the standings. The Indians here in the second half, very, very good, 81.9%. I would expect that to come down, and as it does, the Indians won't sustain this current pace that they're on. Similarly, the Mets are second at 80.8%. So again, the Mets having a lot of good fortune with stranding runners. The Indians, to a degree, are more sustainable. They're not going to stay at 82% for the rest of the second half, but they can be 78, 79% probably because they've got a really good defensive team. The Mets don't. So as the left on base percentage for the Mets decreases, it will likely be because of that poor team defense. So that's one that could drop precipitously over the second half here where the Mets could wind up dropping 4, 5, 6% in the left on base percentage department over the last 6, 7 weeks of the regular season here. So that's one of the many reasons why I'm looking at the Mets as a regression candidate here as we go forward. So that's something you want to follow along with here in the second half and probably look to fade the Mets in some spots, maybe play some overs in some spots, stuff like that. But they will drop off here in this left on base percentage department category. The Cubs are third, 78.3%. By the way, real quickly, the Mets, second in the second half, they were 26th in left on base percentage in the first half. So that's a substantial change. I think about an 11% change, 11 or 12% change from the first half to the second half. So again, as that stabilizes, as that comes down, and it will, the Mets are a team that's going to allow more runs. Will they out-hit those runs that they allow, out-slug those teams? I don't know, but I am looking for regression from the Mets, to be sure. Cubs at 78.3%. They were ninth in the first half. They're third here in the second half. Astros, 77.1%. They were first in the first half, fourth here in the second half. And the A's, 77%, 12th in the first half for them. But when you look at the larger sample size here of the first half, the top team, the Astros, 76.9%. So you've got five teams here in the second half with left on base percentage marks above what the best team was in the first half. So these are all regression candidates to a degree. Now, the Astros only 0.2% difference from the first half. They're just that good. But the Indians, Mets, Cubs, and A's, all teams I would expect regression from in the left on base percentage department. Now, again, the highest in the first half, 76.9%. The lowest, 67%. We've got four teams under that mark here in the second half. The Rockies, far and away the worst, 61.9%. We've got a 20% gap between the best, the Indians, and the worst, the Rockies. Well, in the first half, the gap wasn't even 10% between number one and number 30. So the Indians will come down. The Rockies will come up. So the Rockies, a team you would expect to see some positive regression from here in the rest of the second half. The Pirates, 64.4. Tigers, 65.5. Orioles, 66.8. Angels and Mariners, 67.9. So, yes, the Pirates suck. Yes, the Tigers suck. Yes, the Orioles suck. Maybe they do stay below the lowest team in the first half as they're bringing up call-ups and using guys in different leverage situations and stuff like that. But you're probably not going to see teams 2, 3, 4% below the lowest team in the first half as sample sizes increase here. So the Rockies, Pirates, Tigers, Orioles should all get better in this department. Not to say you want to be backing the Pirates, Tigers, and Orioles, but simply to say that they're going to allow fewer runs just because they're going to strand more runners based on simple regression to the mean. You always want to look for positive and negative regression with the extremes that are out there. We've got five extremes on the plus side with teams ranging from 77 to 81.9% left on base percentage. And then some extremes on the negative side as well, particularly the Rockies at 61.9%. That will come up. There's no question about that. So it's kind of a matter of deciding when you want to play on the Rockies, but they should have some better fortunes here as we go forward. But again, the biggest takeaway in the left on base percentage department is that the Mets are going to fall off here probably sooner rather than later. All right, so let's go down the lines here. Take a look at some line moves dating back to Friday. We did see Yu Darvish money come in against Trevor Bauer. We were on Darvish in that one for the first five. Bauer was terrific. That was a loser for us, but we were on the right side there in terms of the line movement for that game where Yu Darvish and the Cubs did take money. Saw some line movement on Steven Strasburg against Marcus Stroman in Friday's series opener. Nationals with a bullpen debacle in that one. That one wound up costing Nationals backers, but they were on the right side there as Strasburg was a little bit better than Stroman. Stroman making a road start in Atlanta this week. I would expect the market to move against Stroman once again. So probably see some money coming in on Atlanta here in that Stroman start in the middle of the week. Saw a fade of Kyle Freeland against the Padres. That's not a big surprise. Anytime Kyle Freeland takes the mound, you're going to have a lot of concerned bettors out there looking to fade him and his numbers. We saw heavy money on Drew Smyly on Friday as well against Tyler Beede, and the San Francisco Giants. Mike Fiers on Friday night steamed into a minus 260 road favorite. Mike Fiers, a guy with substantial home road splits for Oakland since he was acquired last year at the trade deadline, and it's an 80-cent move on the road. Now, they won, and they won in big fashion, but that was a really interesting line move, to say the least. Finally, on Friday, Gio Gonzalez took money against Colby Allard and the Rangers. The Brewers came away with a 6-5 victory there in that one. All right, Saturday, as we take a look here at Saturday's action, saw money come in on Mike Soroka and the Braves against Sandy Alcantara and the Marlins. Soroka, a little bit of a regression candidate in my mind, but Alcantara, low ERA, high FIP, high XFIP, saw money come in against him there. So about a 25-cent line move on Noah Syndergaard against Patrick Corbin in the Mets Nationals series. The Mets a winner there, largely because of the Nationals bullpen once again. Big move on Saturday on Adam Wainwright against the Pirates and Joe Musgrove. This is an interesting one because I've talked a lot about Joe Musgrove here this season as a guy with a low left on base percentage, should see some positive regression out of him. We haven't seen it. And the Pirates, simply awful in the second half here. So Wainwright bumped up into a bigger favorite there in that one. Also on Saturday, we saw some very heavy Chris Paddock steam against Chichi Gonzalez and the Rockies. Sunday was a fairly quiet day. We saw some steam on Jake Arrieta, which is very interesting. Arrieta's numbers are not good at all whatsoever here over the last little while, but Arrieta takes some money in that one, and the Giants come away with the victory. So the line movement incorrect there in that one, but my big takeaway from the weekend, a lot of people are looking to fade the San Francisco Giants here with that bullpen being torn apart and also with a lineup that overachieved for a nice little period of time. Money came in against Andrew Cashner and the Red Sox. That was the Angels and Patrick Sandoval in that one there, and the money wound up being correct as the Angels came away with the extra inning victory in that one. How about this Astros-Orioles game? Insanity. Justin Verlander pumped up into the biggest road favorite ever. The Astros come back off the Orioles bullpen in the ninth. The Orioles come back off the Astros bullpen in the bottom of the ninth. Come away with a massive underdog ticket victory for those that decided to play Baltimore. Look, Baltimore +1.5 at +220 was a good bet. Baltimore +2.5 at plus money was a good bet. Winning the money line, a big bonus there, obviously, but what a crazy, crazy game that was. But I want to talk about something here real quickly again. Verlander and the Astros at Heritage Sportsbook, -523, +398 on the take back there. So $1.25 line. Crazy. Absolutely ridiculous. 70-cent line at Bookmaker, 50-cent lines at Five Dimes and Bet Online, 56-cent line at Pinnacle, 145-cent line at Bovada. This is why you've got to shop around for sports books. You have to try and put yourself in the best position to succeed. This business is damn hard enough without worrying about these exceptionally high lines. A $1.25 gap between the favorite and the underdog, a $1.45 gap, ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. A 50-cent line, that's perfectly fine. 56-cent line at Pinnacle's fine. Even a 70-cent line at Bookmaker is okay. But over a dollar gap, that's crazy. It's frustrating as a consumer here in the sports betting industry to see things like that taking place. Anyway, last line move to talk about here on Sunday. Masahiro Tanaka took money against Trent Thornton. A fade of Thornton at home, it makes sense. Thornton has not pitched well at home. Pitched pretty well in this game, though, but came up on the short end of a 1-0 decision. Monday, some line movement here on the Reds and Anthony DeSclafani against Eric Fetty and the Nationals. I'm not a big Eric Fetty fan. I get the move. I don't love DeSclafani in this spot, but certainly understand the desire to fade Eric Fetty there. Eduardo Rodriguez taking some money for the Red Sox against Zach Plesac and the Indians. Plesac, low ERA, high FIP, about a 1.8 run difference between his ERA and his FIP. So that's why that one's moving on Boston. Pretty quiet day so far otherwise. A lot of lines getting posted very late with some openers, a doubleheader, a bunch of other stuff going on. So some late line postings, no overnight lines. So not seeing a ton of movement out there as of yet, but I'm sure things will pick up throughout the day. A couple of plays that I like here tonight. I like the Rays and Padres under. Totals have been not good for me this season, as I've talked about before, but I expect some really aggressive pen usage from Kevin Cash tonight. Diego Castillo will start. I think the hope is to push him through two innings. Then you bring in Austin Pruitt after the pitcher spot has already hit, so you don't have to worry about that. And the Rays bullpen, pretty well rested overall, so they can be very aggressive here with their usage tonight, get the matchups that they want. So I do like that. And Joey Lucchesi on the Padres side, look, Lucchesi's ERA is up a little bit from last season, but he's cut 7% off of his home run per fly ball percentage. Higher swinging strike rate, does have a lower strikeout percentage, but he's getting a higher rate of swings and misses this year. Love what I've seen from him. I think he's underrated in the marketplace. The Rays lose a hitter, no DH here in the NL Park. Give me the under 8.5 there in the Rays-Padres game. Then also I'm going to look to lay the big number with the Angels. Jose Suarez is not good, but the way in which the Pirates lost yesterday, I don't think they're really excited to go out to California except for a vacation. I don't think they care about playing baseball here in this series, so I'll lay the big number with Anaheim. A little scary with Suarez on the bump, but I just don't think the Pirates are going to be invested at all in this series. All right, so let's take a look at the week ahead here. Four series on my radar. We start, of course, with the Red Sox and the Indians. Eduardo Rodriguez, Zach Plesac tonight. Chris Sale, Mike Clevinger tomorrow. To be determined for the Red Sox on Wednesday against Shane Bieber. Look, the Indians can ill afford a letdown. Boston, one of those underachieving, disappointing teams I talked about earlier on in the show. They're still very talented. They're still stacked offensively. But this is a series that the Indians really need 2 out of 3. It would help to get tonight. You do have Clevinger and Bieber going in the next two. You know, those are both top-end starting pitchers. They've hit Sale before. It's a different lineup. A lot of guys that don't have the same experience level against Chris Sale. So you don't want to go off of any batter versus pitcher stats, team versus pitcher stats, any of that stuff. But look, I mean, they got Clevinger going up against him, and then Bieber in the finale. They need 2 out of 3 here at least. They should be able to get it. It would be a big setback if they don't. But again, it's obviously very tough to bet against the Red Sox with all the talent that's on that team. Rays and Padres. I mentioned Diego Castillo, the opener tonight. Austin Pruitt, the bulk guy, against Joey Lucchesi. Brendan McKay, Eric Lauer on Tuesday. Andrew Kittredge and Cal Quantrill expected to go here on Wednesday. We'll see who the bulk guy is for Kittredge in that start. But the Rays down a hitter in an NL park, not a good hitter's park at all. Not a great Rays offense either. A lot of contact management on display here in this series. Probably a lower scoring series as well, kind of keeping in line with the fact that I've got the under here in tonight's game. The Mets and the Braves. Zach Wheeler, Max Fried on Tuesday. Steven Matz, Dallas Keuchel Wednesday. Marcus Stroman, Julio Teheran on Thursday. Do the Mets stay hot? Is this where some regression comes into play? I think this could be a regression series for the Mets. Dallas Keuchel coming off of a very bad start. He's had problems the third time through the order. I think this is a big start for him on Wednesday. And I'm going to look to fade Marcus Stroman on Thursday. On the road, bad infield defense, very good Braves lineup. I'll be on Julio Teheran and the Braves on Thursday if the line isn't ridiculous, and I certainly don't think that it will be. Finally, this Reds and Nationals series that gets underway tonight. Anthony DeSclafani, Eric Fetty, Alex Wood, Joe Ross tomorrow, Trevor Bauer, Steven Strasburg on Wednesday. Will the Nationals get back on track? You got some recent returnees here in Alex Wood and Joe Ross coming off of the IL for both of those guys. And Bauer, you know, Trevor Bauer, quick transition, pitched very well in that game last Friday, goes toe-to-toe with Steven Strasburg here on Wednesday. So that should be a good one. Not sure I'm going to have a whole lot of investment in this series, but I will be interested to see if the Nationals are able to get back on track. Wednesday, we'll chat college football. Not sure with who yet, but we will have a football show on Wednesday. Bettors Box Thursday, UFC on Friday. Full shows return a week from today on Monday, August 19th. Very much looking forward to that. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And remember that you will never strike out when you're in the Bettors Box.